Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, What Are People For? Essays is a nonfiction essay collection by Wendell Berry, originally gathered from pieces written between the mid-1970s and 1990. The book belongs to environmental criticism, cultural criticism, and agrarian thought rather than a single academic discipline. And its central purpose is to examine what human life should be for in a society shaped by industrial growth, consumerism, and technological expansion. Berry writes from the combined perspective of farmer, poet, and social critic, which gives the essays both practical grounding and moral seriousness. Across the collection, he argues that people cannot be understood apart from place, work, community, and the natural world. The essays challenge economic systems that treat land, labor, and culture as interchangeable commodities, while also defending local responsibility, household economy, and the dignity of work connected to living communities. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Berry challenges consumer culture as a moral and ecological failure. A major thread in the collection is Berry's critique of American consumerism and the economic habits that support it. He does not treat consumption as a neutral preference. Instead, he presents it as a cultural system that encourages waste, detachment, and endless appetite. This matters because consumer culture shapes how people relate to work, land, and one another. When value is defined mainly by buying and accumulating, human purpose becomes narrowly economic, and the costs are pushed onto communities and ecosystems. Berry's analysis is persuasive because it joins moral criticism with material consequences. Waste is not only a personal vice, but also a structural pattern that damages soils, landscapes, and social trust. The essays repeatedly suggest that a society organized around excess cannot easily sustain genuine responsibility. In that sense, the critique of consumerism becomes a critique of a larger worldview that treats everything, including people, as disposable or replaceable. Secondly, local economies and household work as alternatives to industrial abstraction. Berry consistently favors local economies and household-centered forms of work over large-scale industrial systems. The reason is not nostalgia, but a practical belief that economic life should remain accountable to the places where it operates. In a local economy, the effects of decisions are visible, relationships matter, and work is more likely to be measured by care rather than abstract efficiency alone. Berry sees household economy as especially important because it includes the labor that directly supports daily life food, maintenance, stewardship, and the continuity of community. This is a different standard of value from industrial growth, which often separates production from responsibility and profit from consequence. The essays therefore argue that economic health cannot be measured only by expansion or output. A durable economy must preserve the conditions under which families, farms, and communities can continue to live well. Berry makes localism into an ethical principle. People should live in ways that remain answerable to the places that sustain them. Thirdly, agrarian knowledge links human purpose to land stewardship. The collection is rooted in agrarian thought, and Berry uses farming not merely as background, but as a way of understanding human limits and obligations. Farming places people in direct contact with soil, weather, dependence, and long timescales, which makes it a powerful corrective to abstractions about progress. Berry's essays imply that when people lose their connection to land, they also lose a sense of proportion and stewardship. Agrarian knowledge matters because it teaches that life is not self-made. It depends on conditions that must be cared for rather than exploited. This argument is broader than agriculture itself. It suggests that any healthy civilization must respect the ecological boundaries within which it exists. Berry's perspective also resists the assumption that technological or managerial expertise can fully replace practical, local knowledge. The land is not just a resource base, but a community of relationships. That is why the essays present stewardship a moral discipline, one that asks people to receive the world with responsibility instead of domination. Fourthly, work, pleasure, and responsibility should not be separated. Another important idea in the book is Berry's insistence that work need not be deadening or opposed to pleasure. He critiques modern assumptions that labor is something to endure merely for wages while genuine enjoyment belongs elsewhere. For Berry, this split is both psychologically damaging and culturally destructive because it turns work into alienation rather than participation in meaningful life. He argues that work can be satisfying when it serves real needs, remains connected to place, and contributes to the good of a community. This view also explains why he distrusts systems that prize productivity while ignoring the quality of life produced by that productivity. The essays invite readers to consider whether a society that makes work miserable can truly be said to value human beings. By reconnecting labor with care, usefulness, and pleasure, Berry offers a more integrated model of human flourishing. The point is not constant comfort, but forms of work that support dignity rather than erode it. Lastly, Berry writes as a prophetic critic who combines warning with hope. The collection stands out because Barry writes with the force of a cultural critic, but without giving up hope. His essays are often severe in diagnosis, especially when discussing environmental damage, economic greed, and civic irresponsibility, yet they are not purely despairing. He believes that people can still recognize their mistakes and choose different habits. That combination of warning and hope gives the book its distinctive tone. Barry does not offer policy blueprints in the narrow sense. Instead, he builds a moral vocabulary for reconsidering ordinary life. His prose is admired because it is clear, disciplined, and rooted in lived experience, which keeps the criticism from becoming abstract. The prophetic quality comes from his willingness to name consequences that are easy to ignore, while still appealing to human conscience and practical action. This balance makes the essays valuable not only as cultural commentary, but also as a long-term argument for responsibility. They challenge readers without reducing them to cynicism. In conclusion, what are people for? Essays is best suited for readers interested in environmental ethics, agrarian thought, sustainable living, cultural criticism, and the moral dimensions of economic life. It will also appeal to anyone who wants nonfiction that is intellectually serious without being detached from ordinary experience. The main benefit of the book is that it helps readers rethink familiar subjects, such as work, consumption, farming, and waste as connected ethical issues rather than isolated topics. Barry is especially useful for readers who feel dissatisfied with standard debates about progress, because he asks deeper questions about what kind of life an economy is meant to support. Compared with many essay collections in this field, the book stands out for its combination of moral clarity, literary precision, and practical grounding in farming life. It does not simply criticize modern society. It shows how a different pattern of responsibility might begin in local habits, careful work, and attention to place. That makes it both a cultural critique and a durable statement of values. If you would like to support Wendell Barry, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.